Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, this is your host, Brandon.
This is Q.
Yes, sir. And y'all, we at this Keen Me Pod, where we explore the challenges and victories of modern men. Each week, we discuss topics like mental health, relationship, career growth, fitness, and masculinity. If y'all can do me a favor, man, make sure y'all go to Keen Me at Keen_Me_podcast. That's on Instagram. Make sure y'all check that out, man. Sometimes we post like motivation videos and stuff like that. And if you're a new listener, make sure you subscribe, like, and share. You know what I'm saying? We didn't already kind of put out a whole bunch of episodes. So, you know what I'm saying? Whatever episode that you resonate with, just share it, you know what I'm saying? And share it to your family members, to the men in your family, whoever, your homeboy, you know what I'm saying? Give us a shout out too. Q, my boy, what's going on, man? Been a little minute. Well, yeah. It only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, but that feels like a while, man. I love what we do, man. So it's been a long time for me, but everything going well, man. Had something come up last week, so I couldn't really be with you guys. But a few differences since the last time I was up here. Got a new job.
Well, congratulations on that,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate it. Exploring new things. So I'm happy about that. Thank God for it. And that's pretty much been it with me, man.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's what's up, man.
What you got
Shout
going?
Out to the new job, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dang, I ain't really got too much going on, man. I had an eventful weekend. Let me see. Saturday, man, I helped my family member move into a new spot, you know what I'm saying? And they were basically kind of homeless or whatever. But helped them move into their new spot.
Thank God that was good.
Yeah. And then also I ended up helping my little niece. It's Girl Scout season. It's about to end, but I helped her sell some cookies this weekend. And so that was pretty dope, man. I'm still a little tight about my little niece, man. Let me tell you what she did. She you know what I'm saying, people was coming in and you know, she's 7 years old. And so basically, you know what I'm saying, she was getting a little tired. So I gave her the phone. She wanted my phone, I gave her the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes into my Cash App and send her mom's, she tried to send $1,800 for all of her cookies, because she had needed $1,800 to sell all her cookies. So she ended up sending $180. She thought $180 was $1,800. And so I ain't find this out until my sister called me, and she was like, first she checked in, see how everything was going, because she had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, everything good. And then she said, I seen where you saying $20, because I brought me some set of cookies too. And then she said, you saying another $180. I said, no, ma'am, I ain't seen no $180. I said,
definitely
no, ma'am. Hey, listen. She said, yeah, you did. I said, hey, listen. I look at my Cash App. I said, it ain't no way. I said, man, I'm a getter. You know what I'm saying? She said, what happened? And now my sister thought, I told her, I said, well, your child sent, she the one who had my phone now. She said, it ain't no way she could do some stuff like that. She was like, she wouldn't do nothing like that. I said, I'm telling you, she the one who had my phone.
Bro,
she did it.
I wonder where that come from though. Like what? Like what made her do it? So you asked her like what made her do it?
First she said when I talked to her, because we ended up setting up our next event at Sam's, and then I asked her, I said, why you did that? And then she said, what? She said, you sent $180 to your mama. She said, I don't remember.
Oh, wow.
Then she later on, when her mama got there from work, and she questioned her, she was like, well, I was just trying to buy up all the cookies. I said, I'm calling the police. The police on your ass. You about and then she said, I was trying to send $1,800. I said, this girl was going to send $1,800. I'm still tight by that.
There's a few different ways you can go about looking at it, but Lord have mercy. I don't know. That's different.
I told her that was stealing. I mean, that is stealing.
Oh, it's definitely stealing. Definitely stealing. But that's definitely different, though.
Yeah, so that was happening, man. That what kind of happened. So I'm good, cause now I gotta wait. I gotta wait two business days for the money go back into my account, right? Because you know, Cash App be trying to get you now. You know what I'm saying? If you want instant, you could do instant and take off a few dollars, or you can wait a couple of days for it to hit your account.
But I'm gonna tell you though, that thing there, that waiting days always kind of like blew me a little bit, cause I'm like, okay,
yeah,
within a blink of an eye, y'all can take my money. But for me to get it back, I got to wait some days. I never could understand that, man. It's so finesseful.
Yeah, like with everything else, man, in the world. Like right now, like I still feel tight about the fact that if you use your debit card, they be charging processing fees now.
Man, I was talking to a guy that used to own a business. I was talking to him about that the other day. He said, because I was fussing about it, he said, yeah, but you got to think too. It costs us to run those machines. He said, so as the business owner, I'm not going to incur that cost. He said, I'm sorry, but that's a cost that the customer got to pay. I asked him, I said, well, how is it that it costs at your store or at y'all organizations that y'all deal with, but these some of the convenience stores, it don't cost to use your car? I said, so I don't understand that. He was like, man, different companies, different rules. So I guess in the sake of business, the consumer always has to incur the cost. So
I guess it must be small companies. Or something. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's about like when you go in H&M and they be like, you want to pay like 15 cents for a bag. Bro, come on, man.
Yeah, that I'm going to be honest.
Hey, y'all, is H&M that broke that they can't take 15, they can't pay 15 cents?
Nah, it's smart business, man.
Is that smart business, really?
It's smart business. We looking at it from a consumer point of view. Okay, I have to pay for the bags. So
you ain't do that in grocery stores.
That's their business. That's their business model, and they choose not to. But as for me,
they ain't in it for the customers then.
Man, I'm going to tell you, any business that you got, you might got some that love their customers, but at the end of the day, everybody in it for their bottom line, that dollar amount. And that 15 cent that you making on the bag, you add up enough 15 cent and they start making a big profit, especially when you got a huge business that's nationwide or worldwide. Those 15 cents every time, that's a lot of money.
See, that's the reason why I say, like, companies now, and like even with the employer that I work for, like, they doing a lot more lean things. You know what I'm saying? They got a lean academy. They added that program into the company.
What exactly is that?
So lean just basically better the process, making everything, you know what I'm saying, more efficient. And so, you know, they looking at the time management and everything else, and how we get the product out, like loose times. That loose time is like basically money, you know what I'm saying, that they can possibly save. And throughout the whole year, I guess they can put the data together, how much money they didn't save for the rest of, you know what I'm saying, for the whole year. And it'd be like some nonsense junk, man. You know what I'm saying? But if you do the data and you look at it and you analyze it, okay, you say a few dollars, right? You know what I'm saying? But it ain't enough money that I would say that saved the company significant amount of money, where, you know what I'm saying, this is the amount of money that you save within the whole year. It may be, you know what I'm saying, I would say maybe $100,000, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, truthfully, that ain't a whole lot of money. It might be one person's salary.
Yeah, I feel that, like.
But they paying somebody to do something. But they paying people within that program to do certain things, and they paying them a whole lot more money. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, like, they might have four people within that program that, you know what I'm saying, that they dispatch to different areas and kind of look at their process and how they can better it. And the salary that they paying the four people, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know what I'm saying, $500,000-$600,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at it, like, they really saving money.
Is it really worth it?
So I don't know. It's like, you know, it's just certain things like that that kind of bother me. And it bothers me because, like, at one point in time, we wasn't really doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I know the economy is a lot different now.
Yeah, but I think everything in America is different because we've become we've always been capitalistic, but we've become like so capitalistic that the people don't even matter no more. Everything that matters, that dollar. Like, the value of people is completely gone in American business. So the only thing we care about is our dollar. It was a point of time in life where, like, we made stuff reasonably priced for everybody. Now we don't care if everybody can't afford it. We don't care about the people. We care about the dollar. So that's kind of disheartening, because that's the way of the world everywhere, even in healthcare. Like, it used to be a time where you would go to the emergency room and you were actually going to be seen, and people were going to treat you a certain way, insurance or not. So now it's like, when they come in, now they ask you first off, like, when you come in there, do you have insurance? And I feel like, from being in the medical field, once you say yeah or no, that determines how your treatment is about to go. Once you say, yeah, I have insurance, or no, I don't, that right there determines how your health is, how your treatment is about to go. So everything is a money grab now.
Dang. I don't know how we gonna get back to this point. Get to a point where, I guess, you make America great again.
That dude there, man.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, I say, boy, on some stuff, boy, right now. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really want to get into that topic, because that's, you know, I have my own personal opinion about how our new president doing things right now, man. And some things I kind of agree with, some things I don't really agree with. You know what I'm saying? But Q, you had said something earlier, man, in the chat, in our group chat, the kingdom. I don't know. Well, we still looking for a name for the group chat. But you said something, man. You want to go in details with that? Because I think you made a video.
Yeah.
Your TikTok. Matter of fact, shout out your
man, TikTok. I'm going to be honest with you. I think my TikTok is Quanye Williams, Q-U-A-N-E Williams. So y'all give me a follow. Just look at the page. I think I have some pretty good content up there. But in my last video, I was speaking on like your core friend group, the people that you align yourself with the most. I'm finding it when you speak on turning up, you speaking on partying, you speaking on trips, you speaking on, you know, a good time socially, everybody's always down for the cause. But when you start mentioning growth, like, hey, man, we need to start reading. We need to start doing this. We need to start exercising. We need to start doing this. And it revolves around personal growth and personal development. Those responses get, like, real, real little. People don't really respond to that like they respond to a turn up. And then a lot of the ones that do respond is lip service. They just talking to hear themselves talk because it sounds good. It sounds good to say, I want to do this. But a lot of people want the blessing without the work that's required for it. And we all know that faith without works is dead. So we can all have this dream of where we want to get to, whatever your personal aspirations are. You can have that all day. But at the end of the day, if you're not putting in the work to get there, then it's not going to happen. So I'm finding that the growth journey is more than likely going to be a lonely journey, because you're going to have to pull away from a lot of people because it's not conducive to where you're trying to get to. So I'm finding that to be, it's kind of difficult, because when you're young, everybody think, like, my dogs, these going to be the people that I grow with. These going to be the people, like, you know, we're going to be on the top together. But in actuality, that's more than likely not going to happen. There's very few friend groups who actually attain success in the way that they dream together. There's very few friend groups like that.
It is.
So the people that you close with and the people that you friends with growing up are people that you close with because of circumstances. When you become an adult and you start growing and you start going different places and doing different things, those people become your friends off shared experiences, like, okay, commonalities, like, okay, you trying to get here, I'm trying to get there. We benefit each other. You may be strong in this way, I may be strong in that way, but we could bounce off each other and we could grow. We all working to grow. That's why when I got in the group, it was kind of very important to me, because I'm like, I'm finding some like-minded brothers, like everybody's on a growth. Some of our areas of expertise are different things, but all of us are effectively trying to grow. So that was really, like, a blessing to me, because you'll find that if you don't have that type of group, your regular friend group, when you're really serious about the growth, that regular friend group ain't going to be there. And it gets to the point where, like, you're not beefing with nobody. You don't dislike nobody, but, you know, maybe for your life, you don't want better. Maybe you good where you are. And that's not a bad thing. But when you want to grow, you start finding the turn up, the all that other stuff, it ain't that important. It ain't that fun to you no more. Like, dang, like sometimes you sit around and think about like, dang, this is all y'all want to do. All y'all want to do is turn up. Y'all don't want to do nothing. So like that's the kind of wave I've been on lately.
Dad, what? So, man, I love everything you just said, man. And just to piggyback on some of the things that you just said, I find myself in that particular position myself too, man. And it's real hard though too, bro, because you know, with me, it's like my heart thing with me. You know what I'm saying? Like people that you surround yourself with, you know what I'm saying? They've been cool from day one. And sometimes it's like you just don't, I mean, sometimes it's frustrating. And then the hard part is cutting people off. Right. And I don't want to say cutting people off, but sometimes you get
distance,
to the point.
Distance yourself.
And then they feeling like you switching up or you changing. You know what I'm saying? Like changing is a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? But in their mind, it almost like, you know, betrayal to them. They taking that as betrayal, and you on the other end, you just want to go to the next level. You know what I'm saying? And I find myself plenty of times in certain situations where I had to see, I'm a loner anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm a person that kind of be to myself, so it don't even really matter if I, you know, for me, you know what I'm saying, for me to get to separate myself from certain things, you know what I'm saying. But the problem is, man, people that I love and I, you genuinely want people that connected to you to grow too. Sometimes I struggle with that, and I think from every great leader, you know what I'm saying, that came before me. And you know what I'm saying, within time, end up, I believe, felt the same way, which I always feel like why some of the people who got, you know what I'm saying, assassinated, some of our great leaders, our ancestors, you know what I'm saying, in the past, man, it's probably why they got assassinated. You know what I'm saying? And I can name a few that got assassinated. Like you could, like the like Malcolm X, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he didn't got assassinated for having certain people around. He got assassinated because, you know what I'm saying, people he had went to Mecca, came back and started preaching a whole different, he had got a whole nother mindset of what the Muslim lifestyle was and what really, you know what I'm saying, serving Allah was. And he came back and people just, you know what I'm saying, it went against their own personal value, man. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that people, you know what I'm saying, see you as a threat once you shift your mindset in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that is, though. Because, like, if you think about it, removing yourself from a situation, and I, for some odd reason, man, in people's head, they start looking at you like you betrayed them or something like that.
It's almost like, it's like when you're younger, like you, it's kind of like an unspoken pact, like we'll always be together. Like if you think about the movie The Temptations, when they told David, they said temptations forever.
Yeah.
And when David started doing what he was doing and they had to go their own route, that felt like betrayal. But the group was steady trying to elevate, and David was doing what he was doing. So at a certain point, I had to make that cutoff. Like, David, when we see you, we may still talk to you, we may still communicate with you, but at a certain point, it's just the law of the way things go.
It gotta be. I'm glad you brought up The Temptation, man. Like, you got Destiny Child. Who else, man, that had a group? I think
Drew, I think it's Drew Hill with, yeah, Cisco. Drew,
yeah, Cisco. Everybody had, like, man, sometimes, man, when you become more talented than a group are, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I think with that is also too, like in every friend group and every group, everybody has their thing. Like,
yeah,
I may be good at this, you may be good at that. If we can work together to achieve a common goal and keep growing, then we can still suffice. Like, we can still make this work.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you just comfortable saying, well, hey, man, we already sold 100,000 records. And I'm saying, man, we could do a million. that's going to create some friction, because now that requires you to do more work. Like, yeah, we sold 100,000. You happy with 100,000, but I feel like we can do a million. So we need to practice more. We need to write songs better. And in your mind, you like, man, he doing all that, bro. We like, what more do he want? So then there causes the rift. Like, okay, y'all content with selling 100,000. I know by the data and the analytics that we can do a million.
Yeah.
By tweaking some stuff. So then there, I just think the whole growth mindset, it causes division amongst people, because it's comfortable to stay where you are, and it requires more work to elevate. And most people, when they get comfortable, the natural element of a human most of the time ain't to do no hard work. We don't want to work super hard. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. If I had a job where I had to do physical manual labor 24/7, I'm not doing it. I've never worked at a plant, because I always said, I ain't about to be doing no toting boxes. I'm not doing that. So we don't want to work hard. So if I got the mentality like, through everything, I'm going to work to become this right here, and you got the mindset of, well, I'm good where I'm at, we're going to always have a disagreement.
Always contrive, yeah.
But the thing is this too. Contentment is not always a bad thing. See, we've grown accustomed to looking at contentment like, you should never be content where you are. And that's not always true. So I have to look at it from the perspective of, maybe what you're doing in life checks all your boxes. This is why everything is a personal thing. This is a personal thing. Because if your life is checking your boxes, I have to be okay with that. That doesn't mean you're being stagnant or you're not elevating. You're comfortable, and that's okay.
They're definitely not elevating, though.
They're not, but for some people, like in life, whatever checks your boxes is cool. Our boxes may not be the same. Whatever checks my boxes, like, it may be I want to make more money, I want to do this, I want to do that. These are all things that I need to check off my list. Your list may be checked out for life, and you may be comfortable and straight, and that's cool. But that's why it's personal for everybody.
You ever read the book Who Moved My Cheese?
Mm. I never heard of it.
It's a pretty good book. It talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Talking about contentment. You know what I'm saying? And just to paraphrase it, it basically like an experiment with two rats that was in this maze cheese. And basically somebody was putting cheese in there, and they got comfortable with like eating the cheese. You know what I'm saying? One day somebody just stopped putting the cheese inside them, you know what I'm saying, where they was at, where the rats was located at. Mm-hmm. And so one of the rat got so comfortable and was like, you know what I'm saying, they was going every day they was looking for somebody to put some cheese in it. And it got to the point where no cheese was putting in it. And so one of the rats said, man, I'm about to just go out into this maze and just find my way. Because so evidently somebody moved the cheese. Nobody putting no more cheese in our box. So one of the rats, rat one, he left. Rat two stayed because in his mind, somebody was going to put the cheese back in. You know what I'm saying? And the cheese nobody ain't never put the cheese in. Eventually, now even though rat one left, he went through some trials and stuff like that. And he had second guessed himself. Maybe he should have stayed, but he kept going. You know what I'm saying? Sutton kept mm-hmm. telling him, kept going. And then he ended up finding the location where the cheese was, while rat two was still sitting in the situation with no cheese at all. Eventually, he ended up coming. But you know what I'm saying? Contentment can be that until it don't serve your purpose anymore, I guess.
That's why, to me, contentment, like, it's a personal thing, man, because you got to understand something. Everybody's aspirations and dreams in life ain't big. Everybody don't think big. So we do it. It's our human instinct to want everybody to kind of think and move the same way we do. But my mentor told me one day, because I was kind of telling him about just like some stuff that I had going on. He said, he used to call me Quine. He said, Quine, listen. He said, you can't expect everybody to have the same get up and go as you. You can't have everybody to be a carbon copy of you. That's what makes everything so unique, yeah. Because we've grown accustomed to, in our society, if somebody's comfortable, that is okay. I'm not saying that's a problem. What I'm saying is, when you comfortable and you want to be where you are, that's cool, that's fine. But if I'm not comfortable, that's why I say it's a personal thing. When I'm not comfortable and I want to achieve more and I dream to have more and do more, we're not beefing. It's just our time together may become distant because we're on two different wavelengths in life. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I want people to stop thinking because, you know, we're not on the same thing. Like there's a problem with us, because it's not a problem.
Yeah, it's all love.
It's all love. Because what, like I said, what you aspire to do in life, you may have checked off all your stuff. Some people, I got a house, I got a car, I got a little bit of extra money, I'm good. And for them, I applaud them. They've reached their pinnacle of what they felt like success was. Now, later on in life, things might change in their mind and they might want to start climbing more. But as for me, if I'm thinking like, I want more, I want to do more, they're like, it's cool. Like, either both of the scenarios is cool. It's just whenever you are on that level and we're in a close circle, then our distance may become quite far because I'm moving and you okay, we're gonna dial it back a little bit. Just regular. If we get on the road, we in two lane highway, if your car stay where it's at and I keep driving forward, naturally we're gonna become more and more distant. And that's the same way with personal achievement, personal goals, and whatever you want to do with your life. Naturally, if you stay in one place and somebody's moving whichever direction, y'all gonna become distant. And that's the natural thing. And it's like I said, it gets lonely because by your human instinct and your human nature, you want the whole crew to be on the top. You want everybody to be on top. You want everybody to have, okay, I got this, we got this business together, everybody making $2 million a year after. You want that, but that's not going to be the reality more than likely.
Yeah. I want to, I just wanted to point out what Jesus says about stuff, what we talking about, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't, when I thought about what you had, you know, your video you had put in the group chat, man, did some little research, man. In Mark chapter 5, about the woman with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus walking through, y'all, you know the story.
Yeah,
he was walking through and the lady with the issue of blood had, you know, touches the hem of his garment. Right, you know what I'm saying? But even doing that, even though he was within, everybody was kind of surrounding him, a guy named Jairus came and ran up to him, even during the midst of this, concerning his daughter. And so it's Mark 5, 35 through 42. I'm gonna read. I had just want to get a backstory of Mark 5, but starting with 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep?" And he was talking about when Jesus had came into the house where Jairus' daughter was at, and she basically was dead, you know what I'm saying? And when he got there, you know what I'm saying, Jairus had people surrounding his daughter, and people was just like weeping, you know what I'm saying, around his daughter or whatever. And that's when Jesus, when he came in, he was like, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And then eventually after he said that, everybody that was crying, they started laughing at him. So they go and say they ridicule him. But then when Jesus seen that they was laughing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? When he said the girl's not dead, she was asleep. He said he put them all out the house, and he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, which was Peter, James, and John. And those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then, you know what I'm saying? So what Jesus did was he removed all the doubters that was in the room with him. And he filled the room back with people that, you know what I'm saying, people of faith, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And after he did that, you know what I'm saying, he performed a miracle, you know what I'm saying? And what I think about what you was just talking about, man, so eventually, as you grow in faith, as you grow in business and you grow in life, you know what I'm saying, people you start off with, they become, y'all become, y'all always been good friends, but eventually your faith is going to super true their faith. So everything that you talking about, every time you talking about faith, because they still sometimes stagnated or in a position where they at, they probably going to go against that. Not only going against that, they probably going to talk you out of things that you believing in or you believing for. You know what I'm saying? So y'all conversation going to even be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, you know, truthfully, you know, people of faith and people that, you know what I'm saying, just kind of, you know, like the analogy you just gave, man, you, it always going to be that gap there. No matter what, you know what I'm saying? No matter how much you love them, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just going to look at life totally different eventually as you continue to grow, you know what I'm saying? Spiritually, financially, just everything in life, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. And that goes for, like, business partners too, man. Like, I see multi-millionaires and stuff like that. They, you know what I'm saying? You have core group of friends. Like, I think Snoop still keep his core group of friends around and stuff like that. I think sometimes that kind of help him remind him where he came from. But when it comes out of talking business, he definitely don't probably talk certain things to them, let him know, talk certain business talk around his friends and stuff like that, because they probably don't when they understand, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you know, like you were saying about the story, sometimes God had to, you know, remove, like you said, remove the doubters, remove the people who don't believe, the people who content with, for this case, the girl being dead, who's come to accept that's the fate. So some people have to be removed, because it's hard enough to believe a lot of times when you don't see it happening. But when you got those doubters in your ear, it makes it even harder. So sometimes, like I said in the video, dropping, and please, I'm being respectful when I say this, dropping dead weight is not always a bad thing, because you can't carry dead weight with you, because it ain't gonna do nothing but weigh you down anyway. If they don't believe, if they straight where they are, let them be that, you know, it's cool. But like we said, just naturally, the evolution of things, when one is moving and one is not, the distance becomes greater. So, hey, you got to find some people who kind of, like, to me, either accept the loneliness, or if it's hard for you to accept the loneliness, try to find like-minded people, because there are like-minded people. It's just when you're young, the people that you're surrounded by, the people that you're cool with are because of your environment. Once you get older, the people that you're cool with, that those are people that you choose to be cool with. Those are people that you choose to bring a part of your life up. Choose to put in your circle. So if you feel like, you know, you're growing and your friend group is not on the same thing that you want, find another friend group with like-minded people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, that's just how I see that.
Yeah. So I think we coming on our time. All right, we good? Okay. I was just checking. So Q, just talking about that, man. Stand where we at right now. Stand where we at right now. Do you have some key takeaways from just once you growing and you realizing your friends or your family members or whoever you have in that circle, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you realize that their conversation is still the same and they ain't talking about growth or anything else. Do you have any key takeaways, things that practical things that a person can probably do, some things they can, yeah, just some key takeaways or whatever. Like,
so you mean like, as in like the person that's going through it?
Yeah. The person.
What I do is, I'm getting back into reading a little bit more. Reading my Bible, reading books. I'm about to go get my gym membership. Get into that.
Okay, then.
Yeah, about to get into that. Just finding new things to kind of put your attention on. Like you can't dwell on that. That's the biggest thing. You can't dwell on it. It's a hurtful thing, like at first, but I'm kind of a loner anyway. But it's just, I kind of just thought that, you know, some people will be moving together, but it's just finding other things to put your mind on. Don't focus on that too heavy, because focusing on that gonna have you, it may make you a little bit stagnant. Like, I don't want to leave them. I don't want to. And you got to understand that. That's, be prayerful about it, because you always need prayer. Like, it helps you get over those humps, those hurdles. But just finding other things to kind of put your mind on. Like I said, reading, watching videos and stuff of you know, self-help stuff to me is big. Like, everything that you're going through in life, or everything that you have went through, more than likely there's somebody who's been through something similar. So you look for stuff that's uplifting, stuff that's building you up to you know, get your mind off that. Because like I said, it's a hard thing, but we ain't gonna sit out here and focus on it. If you ain't want to move, you ain't want to move. Yeah. And it is what it is.
I said earlier during the episode, man, this I sat in, me and Trey talked a couple weeks ago, man, for like maybe an hour. And this is where I'm at within my personal journey. I'm more silent than anything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Certain things, and one thing I do realize, as you personally grow, you realize the conversations of people surround you too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just recognize certain conversation, it seemed to be the same conversation. You know what I'm saying? And so right now I'm in a place of silent. And for me, because I always need certain things to do or entertain and stuff like that, I'm real life having struggles right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm always trying to keep myself busy with just something and not sitting silent. And
but sometimes I feel like, also too, let me say this too. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Scoop. Really everybody in that group, but mainly I'm gonna highlight him right now, because yesterday I sent the video to the group chat, and he asked me a very important question. He said, "Man, you booked any gigs, or you just talking to hear yourself talk?"
Yeah.
When I say your friend group, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I told my girl, I said, "Man," I said, "Scoop checked me today," and I said, "I needed that."
Yeah.
So I want to shout out to him for pushing you as well. But he the one that really kind of
he ignited.
Hey,
he started that fire.
Right. Like, you basically, like, we call it fat mouthing. You just fat mouthing, talking to hear yourself talk, or you actually putting in the work behind it. So I want to say shout out to him for that, because
I love it, man.
Those are the type of people that you need in your circle. The people that's going to propel you, that's going to push you, that ain't going to let you just, "Hey, man, I said I was going to do this, but, you know." Nah, you said you was going to do it. You going to do it, or you just talking? So I appreciate that, because I'm iron sharpen iron. So shout out to him for that. So with you, the struggle. What did you say? What's the struggle?
Yeah, that's the struggle where I'm at, like, just being silent. You know what I'm saying? Like because just going back to what I was saying, I always kind of fill my space, my time with just doing stuff. Like, I kind of go to the gym, or sometimes I say I'm supposed to be reading, but I kind of been reading here and there, but not like, I'm not been having a good time management of certain things. I've been filling my time with like really like some BS type stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't really BS. It just, let me clarify that. It ain't BS. It's like this. Like, for instance, like, I had something planned Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, my uncle just said, "Hey, Brandon, can you help me move some stuff?" You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Yeah, I can," you know what I'm saying? I can do that. You know what I mean? But that wasn't my original plan, though. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so before I know it, by the time I get to where I'm at that particular time where I should have done something that was going to, like, benefit me, like, I'm tired, I put it off. And each time when I keep putting off, and I be like, the next day, my time get filled up with other things. And so, and the things I have planned is just basically, like, meditating, like, sitting quietly within, you know what I'm saying, God present his space. And I tried that a couple of times, and the voice in my head, it be, like, so loud, bro. It be so loud, because I ain't never really ever sat silently in a space and just, you know what I'm saying, just be, like, quiet.
Okay, so let me tell you, I feel like that a lot of times is a trick of the enemy. to always have us feeling like we should be doing something, that we got to be doing something, because distraction is like we had a conversation before. Distraction comes in many forms. Like when Jesus was in, when he was fasting, Jesus even went away. Jesus put out of all the things that, out of all the problems that Jesus could have been attending to at all times, every day, sometimes he went away and he was by himself. We've made it a bad thing to have idle time. We feel like idle time now is, it means you're being unproductive. It means you ain't having no, the young word, you ain't having no motion. Idle time is needed sometimes. Sometimes you need to be still. Sometimes you need to be free of our responsibility as I'm doing this for somebody. I'm doing this for somebody. I'm doing this. Like, no, sometimes it's okay to have idle time. You don't always need to be doing something, because that's not how you really, you're not going to hear from God in no bunch of noise anyway. So a lot of times you need that stillness, you need that quietness, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we've gotten to a point now where we just so big and so busy, so big and so busy, really, that we just, it's always got to be doing something. Like, no, sometimes, and then on the more natural side of it as well, sometimes it does your body good not to have anything planned. It does your body good to just sit out here and say, you know what, I'm not doing business today. I'm not going to say for a whole day, I'm not doing business for this moment. I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to sit down, enjoy myself, enjoy some me time. And that's okay. Like, it's okay for everything not to be 100% go, 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 serious all the time. Sometimes it's okay. Like, I'm going to watch one of my favorite shows. My show is an hour long. I'm going to take an hour out of my day and I'm going to watch my show. I'm not doing no business. I'm not about to read. I'm not about to do. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch my show. That's okay. Like, we got to train ourselves. Like we're wired and programmed to be thinking business, doing something, thinking growth. Like, all that is well and good. You're going to burn yourself out to the point where you get to the point where all this stuff, you don't even be wanting to do it because you have no time for yourself. Like, when the last time can most people actually say, you know what, I actually had a good day where I just sat, I chilled, I didn't have no obligations to do nothing for nobody. I had minimal stuff to do for myself, and I just sat down and chilled. I enjoyed some stuff that I like to do. I enjoyed some whatever your thing is. Like, let's say if your thing, like, I like making cups. Like, I enjoy just sitting out there coming up with some designs today, and just, I ain't have nothing to do. I just chilled. When do we allow ourselves just chill time? Because the same way you have to allow yourself reading time, family time, relationship time, God time, quiet time, you need to allow yourself some chill time. It's okay. It's okay to be chill sometimes. You don't have to be on 1,000 24/7. I think that's a problem we have, like, because it's hard to accept the fact that, you know what, I just sat down and watched this show for 2 hours. I just sat down and watched this movie for 2 hours. People start feeling guilty about enjoying themselves and actually enjoying some of their time. Now think about it. You have a certain lot of time on this earth. You may be busy 24/7, maybe pushing to get to that goal 24/7. If you died today, you didn't even enjoy your life. Like, what is that to say? Like, I was just so into getting to where I had to go to, doing what I had to do, that I didn't even get a chance to enjoy life.
Think Jesus had enjoyed life?
For him, I'm sure Jesus.
He seemed like he was a man of mission.
Yeah, he's purpose. A man of, but we're not Jesus.
No.
That's the thing.
He had
that,
the disciples on a mission. It was much bigger than.
Yeah, but we're not them either. Like, we have to quit. Like, we want to be like Jesus, and not, but we have to understand, like, we're not him. And I know that sounds crazy, and I know the Bible people go, oh, God, how could he just say that? We're not Jesus. Because if we were Jesus, God would have commanded us to go die for everybody's sin. He didn't make us do that. He didn't make us be the ultimate sacrifice. So Jesus' way and everything Jesus did ain't going to be our thing. I'm talking about in the natural. It's not going to be our thing. Maybe he was about his father's business. But I'm sure at certain points, Jesus rested too. Because even when he met the woman at the well, he rested because he got weary from his journey.
Even on the boat too, he had rest. He was sleeping.
He rest. So, okay, if we're going to use Jesus, if Jesus had a rest, what make you think you more tougher than Jesus? Where you ain't got to get no rest. Where you ain't got to get no chill time.
I know for me, and the reason why I brought up the being sitting silent, man, sometimes, even if you do have a core group of friends, man, like we do, you know what I'm saying? and it's small, but it's powerful that, you know, not every day we say certain things, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and that's good. I mean, everybody, you know what I'm saying, on their thing. But, you know, with me, sometimes I think it's good just to be silent sometimes and not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Just kind of, you know, sit still and hear the voice of God sometimes concerning your life, because a lot of times the distraction for me is seeing, like, stuff on social media, you know what I'm saying, on TV. You know, sometimes you think those be your plans, you know what I'm saying, what you see people do and stuff like that. Oh, I ought to do this. Oh, I ought to start this right here. You know, and sometimes it just be, like, other people ideas, other people thoughts and stuff like that.
Man,
sometimes on social media.
I have a strong sense of self-awareness, man. And I'm not perfect, but, bro, I'm going to tell you, that social media stuff, what everybody else be doing, bro, I could care less about. Bro, I don't care what nobody else doing, bro. And I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I see people, but I don't even see people. Like, I do what Kanye want to do, and I ain't gonna even lie to you. Like, it don't distract me, so it's hard for me to really speak on that, because it don't affect me. I mean, I had to get to that point, but I understand. You know, my journey is my journey. And whatever God got destined for my journey, it's gonna happen the way He wanted to happen. So I listen to Him. I don't look to know, like, I might see another 29-year-old dude. He got his own business. He making millions right now. I could take some things that he does and apply it to myself as to get better. But my journey ain't gonna be his. He might have had parents that could give him $100,000 loan that started him out on his journey. I ain't got that. My mom and daddy good to me, but I ain't got no $100,000 loan. So I don't get into the habit of watching nobody else's stuff, because comparison is the thief of joy.
You can't
enjoy yourself, because I'm not saying you per se, but people can't even enjoy themselves because they looking like, man, this 29-year-old right here, this dude right here, 30, he got three businesses. This dude right here, 30, he got a Lamborghini. I don't care what they got. I got a car. You take me from point A to point B. I don't care. Like, so when you have to have, there has to be a part of you that has a don't care mentality. And I mean that in the most healthy way, as to say, I don't care what everybody else has going on. I'm going to check in with God for where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Now, you may have some stuff that I like that you do. And maybe I aspire to be a business owner, and you may put out that you did this right here. Okay, I could use that. I might be able to use that, because what you have to understand about everybody's journey is different. You don't know the ins and outs of everybody's journey. They're only going to tell you what they want you to know. They're only going to show you what they want you to see.
Gatekeepers.
Yeah, but it's not. Nobody can document their whole journey.
They can't, but they can give you some vital information.
They definitely can, but, you know, they don't do it. So I don't. Even with that, I mean, I understand there be people that can. Like, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was like, my uncle told me, blase, blase. I said, yeah. I said, a lot of people drop gems on you that you already be knowing. I said, a lot of people ain't going to give you the blueprint. It's different when I say, hey, to build this house right here, you need a 2x4, you need some plywood, you need some shingles. Okay, you tell me what I need, and a lot of people that get them going because, man, he done told me what I needed to build a house. It's different when somebody say, I'm going to give you the blueprint. You lay this plywood down like this. You got to put these 2x4s right here. It's got to be this much space in between the 2x4s. Now, you got to stack it like this. So giving somebody the blueprint and giving somebody, I don't really care about nobody giving me gems. Everybody drop gems. That's how you get people to return back to your page. Everybody dropping gems. Give me something like the right. blueprint. Give me the blueprint. When you give me the blueprint, that's what make you different. That's what, in my book, that's what put you on a higher esteem. Like, if you're going to say, hey, man, I started this, I started this trash pickup business. Well, how did you do it? Okay, first I got my LLC. Then I went and did this right here. Then I got a business bank account. Then I went and got the credit. And this is how you get the credit. That's cool. But just to tell me, hey, man, you save $5,000, you can get your business started. That ain't nothing.
What about the courses people be charging? Everybody got a course nowadays on social media.
I
don't even know what.
They selling hope. They selling hope. And they know this world thrives
about the pastors that people be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Selling hope. Bro, because everybody want hope for a better day. And if you can sell hope, you can make a lot of money doing that.
$50. Man, I ain't even going to lie, man. Shout out to Trick or Trade, man. I remember, man, Trey said he brought a chorus. I think when he first started off, 10,000. But I'm sure he didn't make, he didn't, in this particular case, he didn't make his money back, because it appeared to me that it worked, because he had like, he ended up getting like 10 properties. And,
right. You know what I'm saying? Five, now, see, and then, Airbnbs. And then the other part, the main part of that is his will, his execution. Because I could buy any course I want. If I ain't going to do what that course said, do.
That's very true.
Or if I ain't gonna execute, it don't matter what course I buy. Yeah. But even with that, I don't, you know, that may be some people think, like, I don't really care, bro. Like, because I know at the end of the day, everybody's selling the course. Everybody's selling hope, bro. If you sell hope, everybody, you could become a millionaire selling hope. All I got to do is know how to talk, know how to market. And then, because the thing with the courses is, man, you buy this course, they got a gold standard course, they got a silver standard course, they got a platinum course. If you really want to help, bro, put it out. I understand paying for knowledge. Okay, I'm cool with that. If you really want to help, put it in one course. Well, I got to buy this. So what more are you going to tell me in the next course? So that's why I don't get caught into that.
That's the reason why I have a problem. I real life be having problems when I see certain things like that, bro. It bothers me so much, man. Everybody try to monetize every little thing, man. I'm going to be real. That shit make me, it angers me. You know what I'm saying? Because people will use, they don't give a damn, boy. They would take whatever little money you got, and they don't care how much they squeeze up out of you, man. I didn't see, like, now you got pastors now doing, like, you know what I'm saying? It kind of like the way the world going. You know what I'm saying? Then you got pastors who trying to monetize, same thing way the world going, you know. And I get it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't think God pleased by that, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think
he pleased with that, bro.
If you're going to help,
opinion.
If you're going to help, and that's your real thing to help and make a change and to see a difference, then help. Like, help for real. Don't have no motive behind it. But I also understand, it sounds contradictory what I'm about to say, but I also understand paying for knowledge. I understand that.
I ain't gonna never understand that. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be broke, you know what I'm saying? But, like, in my opinion, I ain't never, cause I think me and Scoot said that the game is meant to be sold, not, you know what I'm saying, not told.
Not told.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in my opinion, I just think, my daddy told me this a long time ago. He said, Brandon, you just got a pure heart. You know what I'm saying? You got a genuine heart. You know what I'm saying? And personally, I mean, that's just my personal belief, man. You know what I'm saying? I ain't fought with nobody, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? And I guess it wouldn't matter, because they ain't, you know what I'm saying, respect. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting my respect if that even mean any damn thing to, you know, anybody. But, you know what I'm saying? You might be rich, but, you know what I'm saying? I see how you got it. You know what I mean? And I just don't like stuff like that.
Okay, this is why I respect the game being sold. Because what you'll find is, as long as you're doing stuff for free, as long as you're giving out for free, people will keep on coming. They'll keep on coming. But the thing is, you'll keep on doing the same thing over and over, and nobody will execute it. You're more likely to execute, or you're more likely to be serious about something that you have to put your resources behind. And the example is this. When you're young and your parents are paying for your shoes, you will go outside and dog them shoes. You will go outside and do a pickup game with them same $220 Jordans. But when you have to pay for them Jordans out your own hard-earned money, when you get home from school, you're going to go in the house, you're going to put them in that box, you're going to put on your play shoes, and you're going to go outside and play. So when they sell the game, I don't have a problem with that, because if you don't sell it, then you let's say you host all these seminars and it's free. Have 1,000 people there. You check in with those same 1,000 people later. Hey, did anybody do anything with it? You might have two people that did something with it, as opposed to me saying, hey, I'm going to charge a reasonable price. I'm going to charge you $100, and 1,000 people going to come. Now, for your time, because you could have been doing something else. So for your time, out of those 1,000 people that pay that $100, I'm sure you're going to have a result of a better, of more people actually putting that stuff into play. Like, because I had to spend my resources on this information. So that's why I agree with it. I ain't going to lie to you. That's why I agree with it, because I would be highly upset to do a free seminar and I'm telling you how to buy real estate and I'm telling you for free. And everybody that went to that seminar, out of all the 1,000 people, two people tell me that they followed up on it. Like, dang, I mean, every soul you reach is
have,
good.
You probably have the same thing if somebody if somebody paid for the course.
I disagree. I think if people pay for it, they're more apt to actually do something with it. That's just
you saying the percentage might be higher.
Yeah,
I'm saying the percentage might be the same, in my opinion.
I respect your opinion.
Getting vehicles and buying houses and tearing that junk up. Got bad credit and everything. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? They don't even care. They don't even care.
That's true.
They pay for it now. They work for it. They pay for it. They still got bad credit.
That's true. But I feel like in this instance with the game, I just feel like the chances of people actually using what they paid for is way greater than I'm just being accessible to everybody. I'm free to everybody. Like, every time you call me, you can email me. I'm going to pick up and I'll sit out here and chop it up with you for an hour. You ain't got to pay for none of that. At a certain point, I'm just doing lip service. I'm just talking because you just doing lip service. You ain't going to do nothing with it. My thing is, I'll make the price reasonable, but pay me for my time. Pay me for my time. That's how you pay to go to school for them to teach you something. So why not pay me? If I'm giving you, you're going to pay $100,000, $200,000 to go to school for 4 years to learn something. If I can teach you in a span of a week how to become a millionaire, why would you not pay me? You about to pay these people at school, and you're going to be paying them for the rest of your life. Why would you not pay me a one-time fee? Like, so that's how I look at it.
I see that. Hey, what if somebody put it all in one book and they buy the book and they ain't never read it? That wouldn't be the same thing.
You said they put it in one book.
Yeah, and they put all the secrets and everything in one book that they brought. But they brought the book, but they ain't never read it.
That's on them.
That's why I say
people, it's the same way when people go to college and they say, you know what, I spent all this money on this degree and I ain't even using it. Hey,
yeah, there's a lot of people out there.
You still went and paid for it, but you thought that degree was valuable. So anything that you see value in, you don't mind paying a little something for it. If you see value, just out of respect for me, if you think what I'm teaching you or what I'm doing for you is valuable, why you can't give me a little something? If I charge $100 for a seminar, if you think this is about to add value to your life, what's the problem with me charging you?
$100, you're right. You're right. I ain't even gonna lie though, Q. That's interesting conversation, man.
Yeah, we'll finish this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have to finish
this one. It might be off the mic.
Yeah. We'll have to finish this one.
But no, I see your points, man. But what today's takeaway, man? What's one thing I say, man, about having friends and having people that you felt personally that you kind of outgrown. The best thing to do is, man, you know, it ain't no malice or anything like that. It's all love. But sometimes you're going to have to separate yourself, you know what I'm saying, when you want to go to the next level. And so it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. And it going to even feel lonely at times, you know what I'm saying? But it's definitely for a bigger and better cause, you know what I'm saying? And who knows, man, as you continue to grow, the person that you felt like you left behind, you know what I'm saying, you might inspire them to grow. You know what I'm saying? So you never know, man. Just stay focused, stay diligent, man. And always Keemy. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And we out.
Yes, sir.